Precious and Holy Father, we thank you that we are chosen vessels. You have called forth from out of darkness into your marvelous light. We are a new creation. And becoming ministers of the new covenant, O God, is part and parcel of this creation, Father. For you have called us forth, O God, as a royal priesthood, a prophetic people, Father. And we pray that we will reign, O God, in the strength, O God, of all that you bring forth in us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that our hearts will be alive to you at all times, that we will always walk before you, that we will always, O God, walk before you in hearts circumcised by the Holy Spirit, so that we will be always a people who proclaim your witness and your testimony, Lord, that we will always be alive to you, that we will live in the power and strength, O God, of your holy name. So come and fill us, Lord. Enable us, O God, to continue to understand, O God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we will understand, Lord, that these gifts are part and parcel, O God, of the unveiling of the living word of the living God, Father. We pray that you will enable us to function, O God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of the vocal gifts. Again, I would like to stress that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are part and parcel of the Word of God. And it's very important for us to understand that the Word of God can be expressed through those gifts. And the vocal gifts are meant to be an articulation of the things of the Word in a revealed reality. So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching?" And all of these four words are huge words, big words, limitless words. I want you to understand that. They are limitless words. Revelation is not a small thing. Revelation is a humongous reality, because when God communicates with us, everything comes forth in a revelation. Everything comes forth in a revelation. It is necessarily a revealed reality. It is something that is of God that is open to us. And on that basis, we receive knowledge. On that basis, we develop the capacity to prophesy. On that basis, we are taught and we also learn how to teach. Tongues are tied very closely to the Word of God. Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, so that we may observe all the words of this law." The Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. And that Word of God is meant to be revealed to us. And one of the tools that God has given us, a very powerful tool, a very expressive tool, a very dynamic tool, a tool that in my personal life I have used very extensively, and I have learned so much from the scriptures in the use of tongues. I have written books out of the use of tongues. I have received revelation after revelation after revelation by using tongues. So tongues have given me the Word of God. Tongues have enabled me to speak the Word of God. Tongues have enabled me to function in a living witness that is actually alive in my heart and in my mouth. And I'm able to bring that forth with an ease by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And that's what I would like to really encourage you, because you are called to be oracles of God. You are called to speak the utterances of God. That is your destiny. And tongues facilitate this reality, and we talked about that last week. Today I just want to talk about the different dimensions that are available to you in tongues. Because tongues are tied to the Word of God, everything that comes in the Word of God can come alive to you through tongues. Now if you understand that tongues are tied to the Word of God, you have humongous potentials in the use of tongues. But you really need to understand that the Word of God stands in the name of Jesus. The Word of God comes by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is manifested according to the will of God. And you must always remember this. You can't just use anything in your own whims and fancies. We go into error in the use of tongues when we use tongues in our own whims and fancies. If you use tongues consistent with the Word of God, you will receive a richness that will truly flow out of you as real rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Okay? So let's just establish what we are talking about through the Word. Let's turn to John. John chapter 4. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "If everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." That well of living water is a reality of the Word that God has given you. And if you can see this picture, that every reality of the Word is potentially a well of living water, you can understand then why in John chapter 7 Jesus says, "Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Yeah? Rivers of living water. But there is a key to be able to tap from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. And the key word is understanding. Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 5. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. "A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out." So these wells function on the basis of understanding. They function on the basis of understanding. Now that's why tongues are important for you to realize revelation, because revelation will always come with understanding. You only know something when you understand it. So tongues give you that ability to know something, to understand it, and to release it from your inward parts as a river of life. And you can touch nations with this flowing river of life that comes out of your innermost being. And God is talking about the Word. Because it's pointless for us to just talk in tongues. In the end, it must come out of in terms of words that people can understand, people can receive, people can realize. But tongues facilitate that move inside of you. Tongues facilitate that ability to draw water in areas where you have no understanding, when you don't know what is happening. So for instance, if you move into the revelatory gifts, you find that in the revelatory gifts, you have the word of knowledge, and the word of knowledge give you an insight into something. The word of wisdom enable you to apply something that is being brought alive in your witness by God as you pray in tongues. The discerning of spirits enable you to discern the spiritual atmosphere in which you are operating in, or the spiritual atmosphere in which you are ministering to somebody. You see, all that is part of this word called understanding. Understanding is knowing the Holy One. And on the basis of knowing the Holy One, realizing from Him something that you in yourself cannot know. You in yourself cannot know. And so tongues are a basis in which you can minister very powerfully, and all of the other gifts flow out of the tongues. Prophecy is just the spontaneous release of the word. But it must be the word of God that comes out of your mouth, not your own idea of what it should be. If you and I can learn how to think and be manifested in the word of God, everything that flows out of us has an abiding reality. It has an abiding reality. It has a creative potential. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ultimately designed to manifest in you and me. Bring forth that potential of God through human vessels and bring it into the nations. Bring it to touch human lives. It is not merely an experiential reality where you do whatever you feel like doing. Or whatever comes to you and you say, "Because I felt like this and because I sensed this, this is all there is to it." It is because we have treated the gifts as being purely experiential, that we have also misused those gifts so very greatly as well. Because how do you use a gift properly in the context of a carnal nature? Your only guarantee of righteousness is the name of Jesus. Your only guarantee of truth is the name of Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. If you do anything outside the name of Jesus, by definition, you are not functioning in the truth. I will repeat that. If you, in your own heart, are not alive to Jesus Christ and you have no intention of functioning in the name of Jesus, or you are only functioning by your anointings and your giftings, it is only a question of time before you go into big error and you do all kinds of funny things. And we have seen this time and time and time again. That's one of the reasons why many parts of the church refuse to touch the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it is so flaky. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not flaky. If the gifts of the Holy Spirit are developed out of the Word of God, they make abundant sense. We need those gifts. We need those gifts to enable us to minister to a lost and dying world that is held in all kinds of bondages. But we must bring forth the gifts as a channel for the Word of God. Those gifts must give expression to the Word of God. The Word of God is a person. They must be an expression of His ministry. They must be an expression of His testimony. They must be the expression of the integrity of His heart. They must be an expression of truth, not airy-fairy feelings. Without truth, nobody is going to be set free. That's why the Bible talks in the book of Thessalonians about false miracles. What are false miracles? Miracles done outside the name of Jesus. Very simple. To me, Jesus said, "I am the truth." So if something is false, it is not of Him, it is not of His testament. It is just something that is using a power for the sake of power's sake. Just like Lucifer, standing in the Holy of Holies, used the power of the giftings and anointings that God gave him for his own agendas, for his own plans, for his own devices. And he used them to influence one third of the angels. What God gave him was irrevocable. It continued to function. But it functioned in corruption. And as that corruption increased, they became increasingly corrupt. So everything that stands as the gifts of the Holy Spirit has their counterpart in the occult world. So what separates the two realities? Only the name of Jesus, only the testimony of Jesus, only that witness within you in blood, water, and spirit. If you are not conscious of functioning in the name of Jesus, then how do you know you are speaking by the Spirit of God? The witness inside of you is designed in blood, it is designed in water, it is designed in spirit. The spirit dimension is of the Spirit of Christ. The spirit dimension is easily verified because as Christ is formed in you, the spirit in which you operate becomes clarified. It becomes Christ-like. Your anointing functions in a Christ-like reality, and you know it. Your nature that comes with the reality of releasing the anointings is a reality that expresses the love of Jesus, expresses the testimony of Jesus. You speak words, anointed words that communicate the love of Jesus, that communicate the faith of Jesus. They are not communicating you and me. Who is going to be saved by you and me? If we do not communicate the Master, what is the basis of truth? How do you guard your mind, for instance, from moving into falsehood? Your only defense is the name of Jesus. How do you know that your mind is thinking right? It is only in conformance to Christ. It is only in conformance to the testimony of Jesus that you know that you are thinking right. Can you think wrong very easily? Doesn't take very much to think the wrong things. Doesn't take much to focus on the wrong things. Doesn't take much for darkness to flow into us. Lose your temper and see how easily darkness and anger floods into you. It comes in like a flood. When you get depressed, see how easily the fear comes in. How easily the depression comes in. What does that tell you? That we function at the speed of thought, and how we think is very important. Now the use of tongues depends on what is in your heart. Like the use of any kind of anointing or any kind of gifting. You stand in your calling as a pastor. Everything that flows out of your calling, it may be a genuine calling, depends on the state of your heart. If you are hurt, you will hurt your congregation. If you are a prideful man, you will just manifest that pride over people. If you are a manipulator by nature, you will manipulate your congregation. It just comes with the territory, isn't it? It just comes with the state of your heart. It just flows out naturally. If you are naturally a crook, you will be naturally crooked in everything you do with the anointings and giftings of God. Don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. That's why you have to build everything in a witness that God has given you. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 says that it is the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen. That witness is described in blood, water, and spirit. That witness stands before the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, 1 John chapter 5 verse 8. That witness is how you function in the vocal gifts. You must function in the vocal gifts through that witness. That witness functions in resurrection power. That witness enables you to use the gifts in the name of Jesus. That witness enables you to function in the testimony of Jesus. And every one of us has got to learn how to function completely in this witness. Otherwise, you will never die to your flesh. You cannot just out of self-discipline kill your flesh. It will not work. God's prophetic picture to dying to the flesh is sown in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. John is in the island of Patmos and he sees Jesus as the Lamb of God. And in verse 17 it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man." That's the only way you can die to yourself, when you see Jesus. And you can only see Jesus through the witness that God has given you. That witness is designed for you to receive, realize, and express everything that is of Jesus Christ. And if you can live out of this witness 100%, you will die to flesh. You will never die to flesh sitting under the banana tree and meditating your life away. That kind of meditation leads to you realizing the serpent over you. Right? Have you seen the picture? Right? Have you seen the hood unveil over the person who is meditating, and that hood is the hood of a cobra, right? Have you seen those pictures? Yeah. Tells you a clear picture. Right? Of what the occult is like. Why did that happen? Was that person insincere? No, he was very sincere about everything he did. The only problem was it was all based on himself. And there is no truth in you and me. Truth unveils only in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. If we are going to ride in the heavenly places, then everything has to be established in the name of Jesus. If you and I are going to bring forth the gifts so that they will be a true blessing to the human race, then everything in those gifts has to be operated in the name of Jesus. If it's operated by any other name, with any other agenda and any other purpose in our hearts, we will automatically misuse it. It comes with the territory. We are like that. We are being saved, and we are being saved in one name. We are being saved through the testimony of Jesus. We are not being saved because we pray and because we read the Bible. We are being saved only as we receive of Jesus Christ. So of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So when you use tongues, you need to understand that those tongues have got tremendous potentials in the Word of God. But the Word of God is a person. The Word of God is a person. And the Word of God is to be operated in the reality of that person. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that there is a realm of the Word that has been glorified according to all of God's name. I'm quoting from the, or paraphrasing from the New American Standard. There is a realm of the Word that has been glorified according to all of God's name. It is in that realm of the Word that the new covenant is structured. The new covenant has been tested through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The new covenant has been structured out of the witness of his blood. The new covenant stands in a witness of the voice of God that flows in the testimony of Jesus. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Huh? Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 24. Ezekiel sees this humongous vision. And in the midst of this vision, he hears a voice, verse 24. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters, many waters, waters pregnant with life, as they went like the voice of the Almighty. So the voice of the Almighty is abundant waters. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. So what does it tell you? The voice of God comes to you in the testimony of Jesus. Are you with me? If you read through the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is the testimony of Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the true and faithful witness. And that witness is a flow of living waters. And a man of understanding is able to draw it out. Tongues enable you to receive revelation and knowledge that will enable you to understand what God wants to bring forth. What God wants to bring forth into a person's life. Enables you to understand as the words flow out of your mouth what you are speaking into another human being's life. That is prophecy. Enables you to flow in the interpretation of tongues so that you can bring forth words where there were tongues before. So that people can understand what you drew from God out of those wells that God has constructed inside of you through the Word of God. That's why we study the Word. The Word is not an intellectual reality, guys. That Word converts to living wells of water that are inside of you so that you can receive the voice of God. And those wells are everlasting wells. Those wells are everlasting wells. Now, what is the basis of this understanding, right? What is the basis of this functionality in tongues? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Just the first four words. And by faith we understand. And by faith we understand. So through tongues, whose faith are you understanding by? The faith of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? The faith of Jesus Christ. It is because it is the faith of Jesus Christ that Titus, or rather Jude, says this, right? Turn to Jude. Jude chapter, verse 20 rather. There's no chapter in Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude chapter, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, using tongues. You realize a most holy faith. Whose faith is most holy? The faith of God. How is the faith of God given to you? As the faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith of Jesus Christ gives you perfect understanding. Make sense? Yeah? So that when you move in the gifts, you are moving with the understanding that is entirely a God-given understanding. It is not of this box upstairs. It is of the heart that God has created in the flesh of the Lamb. Can you catch that? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The second half of verse 10. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Are you listening? The Holy One is Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when you operate in tongues, you're supposed to operate in that knowledge of the Holy One. That knowledge of the Holy One grows in you, right? In an intimacy. Yeah? So you and I must clearly understand this. Now we are designed to function 100% in the name of Jesus. That's our salvation. Ultimately, that is what God is moving us into. So that when we move in the anointings and giftings that God gives us, we move in those anointings and giftings in all that we have realized in Jesus, who is the gift. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The son is given. The son is the gift. Why is the son the gift? So that you will be conform to him, that you will be created in him, that you will be fashioned out of his fullness, that you will be in his image. And this is so crucial to understanding how you flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And everything in the Word of God is tied to how you flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are an application of the Word of God. They're not divorced from the name of Jesus. What's wrong with the prophetic today? So many people who move in the prophetic don't know whether they're doing the right thing or they're doing the wrong thing. It has just become a conglomeration of feelings and visions and dreams. Everything, you don't know whether you're actually seeing the right thing or you're seeing the wrong thing. You just believe. But my Bible tells me that faith has an evidence, brother. And evidence doesn't tell lies. You either know or you don't know. There is no maybe. You cannot be maybe when you're dealing with human lives. So why did we end up like this? Because we divorced the gifts from the Word of God. When you divorce anything out of the Word of God, you have left your source of truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. John 17. John 17. Verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Make them holy in the truth. Make them holy in the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. How is the word to be given to us? In the witness and testimony of Jesus. Who is going to give us the witness and testimony of Jesus? The person of the Holy Spirit. So if you are moving in the vocal gifts, and the fundamental reality of the vocal gifts is to manifest revelation and knowledge to you, Then what do you think the Holy Spirit is going to teach you? He's going to teach you out of the Word. He's going to bring forth in you that which is consistent with the Word of God. How can it be contradictory to the Word of God? How can it be merely experiential? I mean, just imagine if you're a pastor of the church and you just say, you guys have been born again. From now on, it is all based on what you experience. Just be good guys, guys. How long do you think your church will last? Give you 2 months, you'll have a mess. Because they won't know what is right and what is wrong. Man doesn't know what is right and wrong. And that applies to all of us. That's why in the Old Testament it announced when God gave the 2 tablets of the testimony to Moses, it is written in Exodus chapter 31 verse 18 that those 2 tablets were written by the finger of God. In Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16, it said that those tablets are the work of God and the writing on those tablets were the writing of God. Paul comes to the New Testament and he says, you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. That is the basis of truth. So we are called ministers of the new covenant, because God is structuring this heart so that we can be in covenant with Him, so that we will know the truth that is given to us entirely as His workmanship in our heart. So where is the Word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. Where does tongues flow from? It flows from out of your innermost being, your innermost heart. Right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, or rather, verse 20 first. 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Your body, your whole body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? Listen to my words. Keep them in your heart so that your body will be wholesome before God. You know, there is a health that is of the flesh. There is a health that is of the soul. The biggest sickness that man has is a sickness of the soul. We all are afflicted by it. Verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life, the waters of life. Amen? See? So God's telling us very clearly, watch that heart. Keep that heart clean. So one of the realities of tongues is your ability to draw from God. That ability, that process of being able to be cleansed. Because cleansing is part and parcel of the Word of God. God can cleanse you. And through tongues you can draw upon that cleansing. Supernaturally. And ask God to cleanse your inward parts. Hello? It comes through the Word. If you take the Word that is able to cleanse you and you pray it in tongues, it will cleanse you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The Greek word for word there is rhema. And when you function in tongues, you're functioning in the rhema word. And it's able to wash you. What happens when it washes you? Verse 27 says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Amen? Right? So when you pray in a tongue, you can claim that, that you can energize that whole process of being cleansed, of being made pure. It takes time, of course. Because ultimately, everything has to be put into practice in your own free will. So if you turn to Titus 3:5 again, it talks about water and talks about the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does regeneration and renewing come inside of you? Can you activate those processes by turning to the Lord and joining yourself with the Lord in one spirit? Yes, tongues give you that ability. What is regeneration? Bring life out of that which is dead. What is renewal? Make the old new. Processes that are unknown to man. Now, all these processes you can activate through tongues. And you will grow. It won't happen instantly, but it will grow over time as you pursue the Word of God. Amen? So pray in tongues. Pray in tongues the Word of God, and you will see that Word being energized within you. That Word being energized inside of you. Let me show you the connection here. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me get my King James Bible. Verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. That word works comes out of the Greek word that talks about energization. All right? It is the Greek word energios, or some version of that Greek word. I forget that exact root. But it talks about energizing something. Works all in all. That's what the King James Bible says. Diversities of activities. It is the same God who works all in all. To bring inside of us an energization of the will of God into us through the word that God wants to perform inside of you. Right? It's written in the prophets in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, that God is watching over His word to perform it. Tongues will enable you to get into that process. God is watching over His word. Only He knows His word. You take His word, present it to Him, and say, Lord, You energize that word as You see it, as You understand it, as You want it to become in my life. You do with me what You want to do. Work in me, because I can't understand what exactly You want to do with me. That same thing is that same word is used in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power dunamis that works within us. That word works is energios. And by the Spirit, you can energize the power that is resident inside of you by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, taking hold of the Word so that God will give you beyond all that you ask or even think. Listen to what God is saying through His Word. That verse is saying that it is the intention of God to do in you beyond all that you ask or even think. But it happens according to the power that works within you. Now that working is energized by the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. And you can take that word that God, that you have fixed your heart on, and God will work that word inside of you. So that the power that is there is released inside of you to bring into you beyond all that you ask or even think. Powerful, isn't it? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. It says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Dunamis again. So Jesus upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Jesus said when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. So through tongues, you can ask what God has given you in Jesus Christ so that the power in his word will be energized inside of you to bring forth inside of you that renewal and regeneration that is a supernatural creative process. And that way you can become sons of God. And you can function like sons of God. When you operate those gifts by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, what are you doing? You are learning how to function as sons of the Most High God. Amen. So tongues are the root of everything that flows in the gifts. Powerful. Desire it. Pray it. The interpretation will come through the word of knowledge. The interpretation will come with understanding. It'll come with a flow of thoughts. That's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. What was he receiving? He was receiving revelation and knowledge. That's why he was saying that. That he was being taught so powerfully. All of us can be taught. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13 that all your sons will be taught of the Lord. Let's read that. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 13, and all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. Now, who is speaking here? God himself is speaking here. Now, when God calls something great, he's not talking on our plane. Hello. Yahweh is talking through his prophet Isaiah, and he's talking in the first person. And he's saying the well-being of your sons will be great because they will be taught of the Lord. Great. From God's perspective, it will be great. Let's turn to the New Testament, John chapter 6. Verse 45. Jesus is quoting from the same place. He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. If everyone who has learned from the Father comes to him, then everything that the Holy Spirit brings in revelation knowledge will open to us in the name of Jesus. Yes or not? And if it's not opening to you in the name of Jesus, something is going wrong. If it's not making you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, something is missing. Why do men of God who are so anointed fall? Because they no longer love Jesus. Their hearts have grown cold. Why did that heart grow cold? Because they never pursued that intimacy with him. That's the danger. You can get so enamored by the power of God that you lose touch of God himself, that you're no longer seeking his face, you're seeking his hand. But power is not meant to be seeking the hand of God. Power is defined in the scriptures as flowing out of the face of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's turn to that. Verse 6 and 7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts. You see, again, it comes to your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Right? And then verse 7 says, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus that is in your heart. That is the treasure that you and I can have. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Does God want us to have power? Yes. But he wants that power to flow out of the face of Jesus Christ. Because if it doesn't, we will die. You know what he says by the face of Jesus Christ? If power flows out of into your life and you can't see Jesus anymore, brother, you are a dead turkey. The devil will make chop suey out of you. And he knows how to play this game. He will wait 15 years to kill you. And when he kills you totally. And thousands of people's lives go with it as well when your ministry goes down the tubes. Because when you as the pastor, you as the minister of God can't see God, you can bet your whole congregation can't see God anymore, brother. You have not only killed yourself, you've killed your people too. This is not a game. This is not a numbers game. We have to build in the name of Jesus. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you better get to like it. If you don't like it, take it to the Lord and say, I don't like to glorify Jesus. Can you do something about it, God? Yes, He will do something about it. But don't pretend that you don't have such a heart. We all have such a heart. We all want things for ourselves. You have to deal with that part of your being. We all have it. And only God can deal with it. So one of the facets of growing as a servant of God is that you must come to admire Jesus Christ in your own free will. It cannot be cooked up. You cannot simply keep babbling from the pulpit, I believe. No, brother, you either have the evidence or you don't have anything. The belief is good, but it's just kid stuff. It has to translate into an evidence. And you have to see the face of the Lord in your own heart. You have got to admire the Lord. How else are you going to serve Him if you don't admire Him? How else are you going to do all things for Him if you don't admire Him in your own heart? And you have to check yourself when those kind of things start fading away in your heart. When activities and meetings and and the ministry becomes so big that you've got no time for God anymore. You're dead. So the power must flow out of the face of the Lord in your heart. So where is the word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. Where do tongues flow from? From your heart, from your innermost being. From right where your belly is. In the old King James Bible, it is written, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But those rivers of living water are entirely contingent on your heart being able to see the face of the Lord. It is very easy to substitute the face with the hand. And before long, you won't know whose hand is it. That's when you are in trouble, when you don't know whose hand is being given to you. So listen very carefully. Yeah? Get this unction flowing in the right spirit. The spirit must be of the spirit of Christ. It has to be that. So blood, water, and spirit, blood covenant. Blood covenant is designed ultimately to get you married to Jesus Christ. Hello? Blood covenant in its highest form is a marriage covenant. The two shall become one flesh. So as you grow in your ministry, is there a growing intimacy with Him? You see, it is not based on how many people attend your church. It is based on how much you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, everything else will fall in place, brother. Because the growth process that God sets is an abiding and eternal process. It will keep on growing. You don't have to worry about the numbers. Don't fall for the carnal ways of measuring things. How big the organization is, how complex the organization is. Those are all immaterial. It'll just happen by itself.
But make sure your heart can still see the face of the Master. Can see it in greater and greater and greater and greater clarity. That you're in love with Him. That you admire Him. That you're doing it for His glory. That you're enjoying it when the name of Jesus is being glorified. Hello. You need to check this in your own heart. If you don't check this, brother, you'll be in trouble. Because the spirit world is very, very deceptive. Your link to the kingdom of God is only in the name of Jesus. Your access to the person of the Holy Spirit is only through His blood. If you break that covenant in blood, you are open to all kinds of things in the spirit world. And the spirit world is full of rebellion and full of anarchy and full of deception and every kind of evil that we have not experienced in any measure in the world yet. And you really need to know this. All right, so let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Verse 9, that mystery of lawlessness ultimately will open in accord with the activity of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders. Notice the words like all power. All power in the occult realm. All power that can manifest out of darkness. And it will result in signs and false wonders. Wonders that no longer glorify God, but wonders that glorify some other thing. And with all the deception of wickedness, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Understand this, you have to receive the love of the truth. It does not exist in you. You have to receive it out of the heart of Jesus. All this you can ask for and pray for through tongues. All these are part and parcel of the mystery of Christ. Now, last week we talked about the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries of faith, the mysteries of godliness, the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Christ, the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the Father's will. Now, all these things that are mysteries you can get into through tongues. The learning processes that are available to you are limitless, guys. Limitless. Nothing is impossible to you. It only takes time. You have the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Creator God. The omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God, the eternal God, and He's alive within you, and He's alive within you forever. For heaven's sake, respond to Him. Don't try and build something out of your own volition. Build it by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Because everything that comes by the Holy Spirit will always testify of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is defined like that. Christian doctrine is written like that. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. Whichever creed you want to read, take hold of it. That's basic, 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 fundamental doctrine. You know, some of us used to go to churches that used to mindlessly repeat these creeds. But these creeds were all written so carefully crafted so that we will not make silly mistakes. So we have to hear and understand. The church was not born in Akuza Street in 1902. Come Holy Spirit was a call upon the church many, many centuries ago. The Pentecostals did not invent it. And we must be very, very careful and understand that there are lessons that have been learned throughout church history. We have to learn those lessons and understand those lessons. Build everything in the reality of the triune God. Praise the Lord. The vocal gifts designed to teach you. So through those vocal gifts, you can do warfare. Right? Because it is part of the Word of God to tear down every lofty thought that is raised against the knowledge of God. It's part of it. So when you pray in tongues, you can touch those kind of things that your mind cannot comprehend. How do you tear down lofty thoughts? I mean, how do you put your finger on lofty thoughts? How do you put your finger on falsehood? How do you put your finger on the web of falsehood that the father of lies has spun over the world? How do you put your finger on the web of falsehood that the Queen of Heaven has spun over the world that we live in? Your intellect cannot measure those things. You can't comprehend those things. They're all part of the mystery of lawlessness. So how do we battle those kind of realities? You can't. You have to battle it in the witness in blood, water, and spirit by tongues. And leave it like that. And as a spontaneous word comes out, you just speak it forth, asking God to release his angels. So if you look at the throne room scene, and you see those four living creatures around the throne of God, and the 24 elders that are around it, those four living creatures are expressions of the testimony of Jesus. That is the position that is given to the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus has been opened as a true and faithful witness inside of you and me in blood, water, and spirit. It's powerful. If you function in this witness, the devil cannot touch you at all because he has already been disarmed in that witness. Right? It's written in Colossians that he's been disarmed at the cross. But if you move out of that witness, then he is armed. Only in the witness of the cross is he disarmed. Yeah. So there are a whole range of things you can tap into through tongues. Everything that the Word of God talks about, the promises, the prophetic realities, rising into the mount of the Lord, all those things that the human mind cannot comprehend, all those your heart can realize through tongues, by the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of the Father. Amen. At the end of it all, there should be one cry in our heart. Hallowed be thy name. That is the ultimate test of whether we are walking the right way or the wrong way. Now, you don't go into these things instantaneously. You have to grow into these things. So don't look at this as if it's a promulgation of a law. It's not. It's something you have to grow into. You have to grow into it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to enable you to grow into it. The fullness is of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will take it and bring it into you. And through tongues, God will do that. Because that is his fundamental plan and purpose for your life. To fashion you and form you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so much is available to us. So much. The church is potentially so powerful. Let me just read this last verse before we close. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. And he, the Father, put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. So if Jesus is head, the church is head over all things. Provided Jesus is head in your own heart, we want authority. But that authority will only come as you make Jesus your head. You have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to transform your inside so that you will want Jesus to be your reigning king, your husband, your Lord. Can you catch that? Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We are the body of Christ." So why isn't this reality being brought forth in us? Very simply because he is not the head inside of our hearts. We've got other agendas. So who is going to make Jesus the head in your heart and my heart? The person of the Holy Spirit. So pray in tongues and ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to receive Jesus Christ as your reigning king. That he will reign over every form of your thoughts, your intentions, your desires, your plans, your purposes, everything. Bring it to his lordship at a conscious level, a subconscious level, and an unconscious level. And the Holy Spirit will do it because that's the perfect will of God. When you pray those kind of prayers in tongues, brethren, there is 100% answer to those prayers. But don't just pray it in one day. Pursue it. You know, you can actually come to desire Jesus as your reigning king. It can become a passion in your heart. You can actually develop a desire that really takes delight in seeing the name Jesus. You actually get a joy out of that. You really get a kick out of it. Seriously. No bluff. You can really get a kick out of lifting up the name of Jesus. And it's the real thing. It's not like the fast that is talking about our greatness, because it's not real. The greatness of Jesus Christ is genuine greatness. It is not cooked up, it is not hyped up, it is not some marketing ploy. It is genuinely real. You can actually glorify him and feel so fulfilled because of that. Amen. So use those tongues judiciously. And if you use those tongues to see Jesus as your reigning king, the prophecies that will flow out of your mouth will be straight and true. The word of knowledge that will function in you will be straight, accurate, true. No funny agendas hidden inside of it. The word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits will be accurate. You don't have to talk to demons to find out what they're doing. Hello. Can you imagine talking to someone who is by definition a liar to find the truth? I mean, I sometimes guys tell me these things. Huh? What kind of a nut does that kind of thing? Huh? Satan is by definition a liar. Jesus says there is absolutely no truth in him. Right? And then the power gifts will flow, the gifts of healing, because Jesus is the healer. And in tongues, right? He can rise in you by the Spirit. And he is the healer. And the healing will just automatically flow. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Huh? When he is alive in you, the gift of faith will automatically flow because he is the one who has perfect faith. The miracles will flow and the name of Jesus will be glorified and you will take joy in it. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you for this awesome reality of the word that is called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it is the reality of the word. It's the reality of the word given to us in the name of Jesus, in the testimony of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings it to life to us, Lord, so that we can minister in the name of Jesus, so that we can minister in the signs and wonders that Jesus Christ performed, Lord. So build us so that we will function in this awesome intimacy, so that when the anointings upon come upon us, we will see clearly and we will understand clearly because, Lord, what is alive in us with an understanding that is with an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you will build each one of us so that we will use the vocal gifts and draw, O God, the richness of all of the giftings that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us with the gift of your Son. Bless us, O God, with a partnership with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless us, O God, that we will walk by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that the law of sin and death is entirely destroyed in our lives, Lord. We pray for freedom and liberty as we live, O God, in the reality of who you are and all that you are. Bless the church in this reality, that we will become your body, sanctified for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.